Blog Talk Radio.
You have made it to Stu and the Nun, an online radio show that looks to inform, educate, and hopefully make you laugh. Stu and the Nun is a show focused on national security, policy, politics, and selfless service. We do this by not only interviewing guests, but also sharing our perspectives and asking you, the listener, to interact with us on our show chat room, via our Facebook page, and on Twitter. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Stu and the Nun. Stu here with you tonight, here on episode, I think it's 32, I thought it was. Episode 32 tonight here on this March 29th. And I'm glad you could join me. I am here tonight without my man, the Nun. He had some he had a little conflict tonight. Some things, especially when it comes to family, are pretty important, and it was very important time for him tonight, so he would not be here. However, I will be getting being joined by a good friend, a longtime friend, and she worked a lot on our old show. She was a driving force behind the scenes and co-hosted a few times, and she'll be joining me here in a little bit, Miss Loopy Libertarian. So she will be on here joining me. She is going to be joining us in a few minutes, but until then, you've got just Stu here. And I'm glad to be here on this Tuesday night with you, giving you some insight into what's going on in the world and hopefully introducing you to some new people and new things that you didn't know about. With that said, talk a little bit about our guest tonight, Tony Sheana. I believe that's exactly how you say his name. He is a South African who is the CEO of a company called Mosaic. And we're going to be talking with him tonight and talking about what this company is all about. It stands for Multi-Operational Security Agency Intelligence Company. Kind of has all the buzzwords in there. And he is in the what's called, essentially it's a PMC, or private military company. Is essentially, if you would have ever heard of things like Blackwater, or Z, or any of the other. Blackwater is probably the most famous name, one, Triple Canopy. You know, it's private contractors, military contractors, civilians, pretty much all ex-military of some type that form these companies. They've been a huge force in our country's history, actually in many wars, not just in Iraq, World War II and everywhere. So this company is not just conducting combat operations, but it looks like they do training and stuff like that, and for law enforcement agencies, militaries, intelligence agencies. So Tony will be joining us tonight to talk a little bit about that, talk about what he's seeing in the world, what's going on. A lot of things happening. We have potential hijackings today, I guess, in Egypt over to Cyprus. We've had planes shot out of the air by the Russians. We had bombings in Belgium. We've had attacks and bombings in Paris. I mean, it's a dangerous, dangerous place. We had attacks right here in our own San Bernardino, California. So no shortage of bad people trying to do bad things to good people. And so we'll be having Tony on talking about that tonight. If you want to learn a little bit more about his company and about what he does, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Stu and the Nun. And I've got a little bio up there and a story on them, some pictures. You can check it out and see kind of what they do and what they're about. Like I say, it should be pretty interesting to have them on. And as we try to internationalize ourselves, I think Tony will be our first South African. We've had Britons, Canadians, of course, and Finland and a lot of different places. But so he will be our first South African. So, yeah, that's it for tonight. That's who we got on. And then, like I said, Loopy will be joining me here in a little bit, and she'll be on. So it'd be good talking to her. But a lot of things going on in the world. You know, the political season is, you know, fast underway. And it is no shortage of things happening, whether now accusations against Trump's campaign manager, claiming he, abused or assaulted this reporter. I seen the video 10 Ways to Sunday, grabbing someone's arm, removing them. I'm not a Trump supporter, but it didn't look like it was really assault to me. That's assault. I've done a lot worse. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But, you know, it's grabbing the sound bites right now. It's grabbing the 30-second sound bites of what's going on in the world. So I guess that is the most important thing to everybody because it's all what's happening. But with that, I would like to bring on my good friend, and she is going to be my co-host tonight, Miss Loopy Libertarian. And Loopy, I'm just calling you that because I didn't know what you wanted to be called, even though I could call you all kind of stuff.
You can just call me Wendy. Everybody knows I'm Wendy.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, our tight circle, for sure. I was going to say Sue Smith, but I didn't want someone to think I had a murderer when I was a guest host. So.
Shut up. What happens when Facebook just yanks you around?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
The old Facebook. Well, How are you doing tonight?
Oh, good. I had class tonight, so I just passed. Trump was up there at the Holiday Inn Express up on the north side of town, and I wasn't going to try and drive past the hotel because I figured it was pretty still crazy there. But they had all these dump trucks lined up along the highway, along the side, because the hotel's right on the highway. And so when I pulled up, I wasn't quite sure if it was construction at first because we just redid that whole interchange. And so I was like, oh, you know, they must still be doing work. And then I see them all lined up in a row, kind of blocking towards the side of the hotel. And then there's a bunch down in the parking lot at one end of it. And I see these little, all in black, like the, you talk about the men in black. They were, and it's not that cold. It's like maybe 55 degrees, head to toe, ski mask, like four or five, six of them all kind of gathered at one end, looked like they were picking stuff up. And I was just like, wow. And
so
I had texts from friends.
Were the dump trucks, were they barriers to protect Trump, or were they protesters trying to block people from getting there? Do you know?
I think they were just barriers to protect Trump.
Interesting.
Or to block off that exit. Like you might have to, they may have used it as a way to control traffic.
Yeah.
You know,
interesting.
To force people
to
go around a certain way so that it didn't back up on the highway.
There's a little bit.
Plane has landed like right down the road from me, and I saw a bunch of cars coming up from that direction, so I'm wondering if he's already taken off because his rally was supposed to be at 4.
He was talking a little while ago for sure. You know, it's interesting, he was at a Holiday Inn Express, you know, the old joke, the commercial. I'm not a presidential candidate, but I have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, and you know,
well, he didn't speak there.
I doubt he's ever, I'm just going to go on a limb here, I doubt he's ever stayed at one. I'm just going to say, I just don't see it.
You know, he may have someday in some, you know, when he was 18, 19, 20 years old, you know.
I don't think they had Holiday Inn Expresses back then.
Expresses, but, you know, I mean, we don't know. I don't know his whole history. You know what I mean? I don't pay attention. I don't have TV. So it's so funny because I was in Chicago seeing you last weekend, and I saw I had TV, access to a TV, and I was just like, I would lose my mind if I had to see the talking heads picking apart every little tiny detail of every tiny thing that each candidate has done. I am so glad that I self-select the news articles I want to read, and I do read both sides. I don't just read one side or one particular candidate's, you know, slanted stories, but I don't hear any of the, especially, you know, the pretty blonde idiots on Fox News. I don't see any of them. And I'm glad because sometimes I feel like they don't add a lot to the conversation.
there's some good ones. There's some good ones on and over, and there's bad ones. But the what you're missing right today, I was just talking before you came on, is the hot news today is they filed misdemeanor charges against his campaign manager because Trump even released new video, and it shows him, the campaign manager, grabbing that reporter's arm as she's trying to come up to Trump and get near him. He kind of grabs her and pulls her back. Like, you know, you've done worse to me when we've been out partying than I saw. So that's what's been all over the news
today. I've done worse to my kids than that,
yeah,
in public when they're acting up. You know, their,
yeah,
little arm pinch, like up on the inside of their arm when they're losing their mind.
Yep.
Leaves a little bruise, too.
Yep.
The kids don't do it again. I bet you she wouldn't be approaching Trump again after that.
Yeah.
But you know what? What I found interesting, I follow tweets and different people, and there's one blogger that I follow, Vox Day, and he wrote this book called SJWs, or Social Justice Warriors Always Lie, and he has these rules about how they always lie and they always double down and they always project, and you know, from what I hear, I haven't read it yet, but it's a great book, and you know, the one thing that he pushes over and over and over again is don't apologize, because if you apologize for anything, the left takes it as an admission of guilt, and then they double down, and then they force you out of an organization. They force you. They just take any kind of, I'm sorry that happened, I'm sorry, any of that as an admission of guilt. And so the way Trump, and I, you know, I've heard that he just stood up there, stood by his man. He's a leader. He's got his team. And he's just going to let it ride out.
Yeah.
And I,
yeah,
would definitely follow a guy who would stand up for me and just say, you know what? There hasn't been any conviction. There hasn't been anything other than this woman accusing and her wang. And, you know, they did the investigation. You know, she was stopped from coming close to touch me. I'm going to stand by this guy. And that's it. You know, let the cards fall where they may. And and that takes, you know, the left and a lot of other politicians, they just bend over backwards to apologize and not offend anybody. And as soon as they do that, there's always this outcry of, see, look, they, you know, and it's true. You know, what Vox Day says is it's very true. Just don't apologize. If you know you're in the right, or you know that you're in a leadership position, or you know that you have the facts on your side, but you don't, you want to apologize for maybe hurting somebody's feelings that they took it the wrong way, don't. Don't apologize, because
well,
you're just going to get sucked
into
that black hole.
I definitely want to see if our guest tonight is one of those kind of guys that apologizes. I'm thinking he's not, but let's go
Me
ahead
too.
And bring him on right now. I'd like to welcome to Stu, and then on our first, I believe, South African guest from South Africa, as we've had guests from all over the world, Mr. Tony Sheena. Is it Sheena? Is that how you say it, or Cheyenne?
That's close enough. It's Sheena.
Sheena, okay, that'll work. I've watched quite a few of the videos. I wish I should have picked it up. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show, and glad you could join us for a few minutes tonight.
Great, thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, so reading your bio and have looked at your website and checked it all out and saw a lot of videos about you, but I'd like to, if you could, give our listeners and ourselves a little bit of background. There's a lot of reference to South Africa, and I believe that's where you grew up, and I'm assuming you served in the military there, and you kind of came from that part of the world. Is that correct?
Yeah, I grew up in South Africa, and my first foray into the security business was straight out of college in the government intelligence sector, and that's where I first started off. Now I am CEO of Mosaic, which is a paramilitary company, a defense contracting company that operates in Iraq and a few other kind of hostile environments.
Yep. You started this company. It looks like you have worked with not only internationally, but also within the U.S., law enforcement agencies, militaries, and even the other private contracting companies. Is that right? You're providing training and stuff?
Yeah. We're kind of a full spectrum security company, dealing with everything from the training of foreign militaries to U.S.-based SWAT teams, as well as investigations, et cetera.
Okay. And you, a lot of this came from your initial work in the intelligence agencies in South Africa, and that's where you kind of picked up a lot of the trade craft and skills from?
Yeah, you know, I, I really got placed in a unique situation where I was recruited out of college and by my American professor, my professor that I was studying law under, and got put in this weird position of being between kind of South African intelligence, U.S. intelligence, and being this, no man's land, so to speak, and had to, learn to swim very quickly and learn to survive very quickly, and been placed in some really interesting, compromising positions, where I was lucky to actually come out the other side when I think about it in retrospect. But when you're there and you're sort of a young man, you kind of just do, what's asked of you, and you don't really realize the possible consequences.
Yeah, we tend not to do that, right? We tend to just look forward and think, it's part of the job. And we're kind of, especially when you're that age, you're invincible, right? Till you look back and go, holy crap.
It's not even being invincible. It's just more being naive or ignorant of the possible dangers and, being put in those dangers by, agencies that really, truly don't really care about your well-being. It's just, you're a pawn in that job, right? And that they're trying to achieve whatever goal that may be. So I learned, about the murky world of intelligence from a very young age. It was my first foray into security was that, and dealing with terrorist groups at that time, both left, extreme left and extreme right, engaging in terrorist activities, and learning to sink and swim in that environment is building off quite a foundation, I think, that, stood me well in, the next 20 years of the security business.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, I wonder how long did it take you to kind of come to the realization that, like you kind of referenced to, that you were expendable, right? You were a tool in their toolbox.
It wasn't sort of, I would like to think that, the U.S. intelligence apparatus would think, wow, this is the perfect candidate to be, one of, a case officer, an agent, but it was more like, okay, this guy's got potential to use as an asset, really. And, which means you're very much expendable.
Right. Yeah. That's very true. Now you've also, it looks like you have ventured into before I get in, I want to back up. You're also you're a karate champion and was a world champion for a while, right? So you got into the martial arts at a young age, I assume.
Yeah. In South Africa, we really only had karate. That was the thing that everyone did, whether you were a bouncer or an attorney or the prosecutor, or just everyone just did karate. And it's something that I did from a very young age and carried it through, and it still kept it sort of in my toolbox when I moved on to bigger things. But it was also a very good part of my foundation.
Yeah. And have since, it looks like you have ventured into the Hollywood industry a little bit, and is it mostly providing guidance and oversight, or have you found yourself on the business side of the camera?
Yeah, it's I have a home in Los Angeles, so it's kind of part of the environment here. But I started a security company, a film company, with a film partner in New York named Jules Nasso, who's made a lot of the action genre movies, and we made an action movie, and it's a good balance, two probably very big extremes going from front lines Iraq to a movie set, but somehow it's worked, and it's been working pretty well, so hopefully we'll just continue operating in that fashion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Have you found yourself in conflict sometimes and trying to explain to producers or directors, what is realistically how it happened versus what they want to have happen to achieve some effect or look?
Right. Sure. I mean, Hollywood is entertainment, and everything gets romanticized, and a lot of the product that comes out, whether it's, you know, based on certain conflicts or certain missions. You know, I have a lot of Navy SEAL friends who, you know, will refuse to see certain movies, and, you know, we'll look at them and, you know, raise an eyebrow and go, wow, you know, that's been, you know, grossly distorted. And that's just, it's part of it, you know, and that's why it's based on a true story, but not necessarily completely reflecting the story, you know, accurately. And it has to be romanticized and adapted for viewing pleasure, right? And that's kind of what happens, yeah.
And get compressed into a couple hours of time, right? And you gotta.
Sure, you know. Sure. You know, it needs to be made sexy, right? It's film, so yeah. You know, when you look at, for example, you know, espionage or intelligence world, you know, that's you know, masses of hours of analytical work, you know, that may culminate in those few moments of action, right? But you don't see all the analytics. You just see the action on the film, of course.
Right, right. You know, I have having myself in past lives worked around the intelligence community. I know, you know, they're very much on keeping things on the down low in the U.S. I'm curious, with working in Hollywood and you know, just being out there. You've a couple other shows you've been on, the Vice series and stuff. Is there such a concept of being, you know, PNG'd or kind of like shunned once you kind of come out and become a figure like that? Or do you still get the same kind of work you get before?
No, I mean, it depends, you know. If you can forget about, you know, any of the secret squirrel type things, depending on how sensitive things are. But, you know, I'm a private company and, you know, I had to really realize that being visual and being out there is part of my business and part of how people get to know about us. And, you know, that's how Mosaic's reputation has also grown, whether it's activities in these hostile environments or the whole thing on chemical weapons last year in Iraq, or, you know, it's very visual. It's on the news you know, individuals as well as entities get to know about us, and you know, and that's part of the business. But, you know, I have had situations, you know, lately, because I've personally become so visual, where I've had, you know, instances where intelligence community has kind of shied away from me a little bit. But those are current operatives in very high positions. And you know, they don't really want to be associated with someone on paper that gets to be so visual, you know, because, you know, whatever may happen in my private company, somehow, you know, press or whoever could try and piece it together and go, well, you know, this individual or this company is linked to, you know, this head of this agency on a whole different level, a different venture, or a different, you know, part of the security environment. But, you know, they'll piece it together and go, oh, well, you know, maybe they reacted that way because he's been advised by this intelligence head, right? And that becomes dangerous for them. So I have very recently experienced that. And because I was in London a few days ago, and I actually flew into London from Rome the day the Brussels attacks happened. So when I landed, I got bombarded with phone calls, you know, from CNN in the U.S., et cetera, et cetera. And because it was London, I did a lot of press there. And, you know, even that did affect what you're talking about to an extent.
Yeah, I would imagine so, for sure. Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. You know, in the last from the start of the year, but let's just take the last few weeks. There's been enough incidents between Belgium, the bombings in Pakistan, in Iraq the other day. There's been so many things going on. Are you seeing, I guess, just kind of what's your reflection on that? Are you seeing a trend? Is it just that they're getting more brave, or is there any reason why all of a sudden we're seeing such an influx?
No, you know, it's you know, I called it on the Paris attacks. You know, that very morning I had an interview with a Vice journalist, and, you know, as you mentioned, they, as part of the documentary they made on private military, so, you know, they contact me from time to time. And this particular Vice journalist was asking me about, you know, my advice, and at the end of the interview, like, what would I want to put out to the public? And I said, you know, once again, we're going to get hit on coalition soil, because, you know, ISIS just...
Oh, we lost him. Oh. He will call right back in. Yeah, he just dropped. Bad connection. Wendy, I'm sorry. I'm trying to cut you out. I sent you a text, but I guess you didn't get it. If you got anything, just let me know, and you can jump in.
You know I'm on my cell phone. So if I'm on my cell phone, I'm not checking my text messages, dude.
I don't know what kind of high-speed phone you got. I don't know if you could do both at one time.
I do not have that kind of high-speed phone. But I did want to ask him, you know, about when we get a chance. He seems very active in fighting sex trafficking, and
yep.
You know, that ties in with a lot of the Middle Eastern problems, and you know, I'd like to kind of talk to him about that when we get him back on the air. So,
yep.
Because he seems very
That's been a big thing of his lately. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something we definitely want to get into. Is that seems to kind of be a main thing he's been going after lately. So hopefully he will be coming right back on. I'm keeping an eye on the switchboard to see when he dials in, and I will bring him right in. But very interesting. You know, recruited right out of college, which is not completely uncommon. And,
right.
You know, they kind of do that in our country, too. They actually try to get you before you've screwed up too many times and had too many wild parties and done things that, you know, would keep you from getting a clearance is a big reason of why they do that.
I wonder if that's changed now because of all the social media and the Twitter and the public presence of young people everywhere. If there's been a change in their recruiting patterns, that would be an interesting discussion sometime.
Yeah, I'm not sure we would ever know. Yeah, I'm not sure anyone would ever come up on that one, but it would be. I know a lot of people I know that are in that community. I mean, they none of them are on anything. They absolutely, positively, their whole lives have been off of it. Never will, and that just they just take that as it's.
But how do you find anybody in the current generation? They grew
They probably, like, if you want this job, you will get off. You don't have to. There's nothing that mandates you have to. They just do it for their own protection, just to be safe. There's nothing saying they can't get on social media, but they just do it just to protect themselves. Say they don't accidentally put something or whatever. I mean, you know, a little bit of my background, and even when I was in Afghanistan blogging. You know, there was a lot of people that I would meet that were following my blog, and I would run into them, and they'd be like, "Oh, you're that Boohammer," and they would be like, "You know, how you're a senior NCO? How are you getting away with this?" Also, like, I'm very careful what I write. I know what I write. I when I talk about things that happened,
the difference is your age. You have experience. You kind of have an idea. But think about if you're like my son is 14 now.
Oh, hold on a second. We got him back. Let me bring him on. Yeah. All right, Tony. Yeah, we lost you there. You dropped for a little bit.
How long ago? Because I just carried on and on.
Go ahead, Wendy.
We just lost you. We just lost you. And we were kind of talking about the recruiting process, about you being young, and I just kind of made a throwaway comment about how difficult it must be to recruit now with all of the kids in social media. And the way they put themselves out there, it must be very difficult, I'm sure, for them to find, you know.
Sure.
You were just talking about, you know, you were being asked by the vice. So that's where you were. You were being asked by the vice reporter and about the stuff that in Paris and what your advice would be. And it was like right after you said you were asked what your advice would be. So we may have lost a little bit from.
Whoa, yeah, I carried on for a while. I mean that, and basically what I'd said was that we could expect an attack on coalition soil, because, you know, ISIS had just lost Sinjar, which was an important area for them, and as a direct response in retaliation, that they're going to attack coalition soil, and, you know, a few hours later, you know, Paris happened. With Brussels, you know, they wounded and arrested the ISIS operative who was instrumental in the Paris attacks. And I think what happened, they just ramped up operations just to make sure that, you know, their great operation doesn't unravel. And that's what happened over there. And when it comes to Pakistan, that's completely, different, where I was actually in Lahore last week before I, got to Rome and London. And, 2 days ago, the Pakistan attacks happened. And that's scary because, it's a Taliban splinter group that, had declared loyalty to Islamic State at a point. And they actually waited for, the Christian holiday, waited for Easter, for this attack to happen, which is very scary because it seems like if it's not a Shia versus Sunni or Sunni versus Shia, war, now it's really against anyone who doesn't prescribe to Sharia law. And there's a big push for Pakistan to, be a Sharia state also. So, that's very dangerous.
So I have a question. Since your company deals a lot with security and things like that, excuse me, and helping people kind of situation awareness is, what they say in the military. And I lived in Europe from the mid-'80s to the early '90s, right at the tail end of the Baader-Meinhof days, but there were still some bombings happening at military or clubs that militaries frequented. And the Europeans back then were very conscious of backpacks left around, bags here and there. I remember landing in Frankfurt Airport, and they had their Polizei in there with their Uzis, and it was shocking coming from the United States as a teenager to see that type of security at that time. Do you think that the Europeans have kind of lost a feel for that, or that they are expecting a certain type of warfare or certain type of honorability in the way that they're attacked, and that this is all of these past couple of years have kind of stripped away that innocence or that naivete?
Right. I mean, I think that, everyone should be really walking around in condition yellow, where they need to be observant and aware of their environment. It's difficult for people to keep that sensibility when things calm down. It's human beings have this really interesting way of forgetting about things and moving on and coping and healing and moving on. And, attacks happen and everyone's aware, but that awareness only lasts for a little while. And then they go about their business again, except if you're in the business. I've had, experiences myself when I was living in London and living in Notting Hill and being on the tube and with my fiance at the time, and kind of looking at a boom box that's kind of left on its own and just fixated on it, and no one's around it, and no one's seems to be bothered by it. And just before the train pulled off, I yanked her out and almost dislodged her shoulder, but and thankfully it wasn't a bomb, but it very easily could have been, right? So, the general public, Joe Bloggs is not as aware. And I think what's going to happen is with all the terrorism that's going on, it's kind of, reminiscent of my beginnings, and as well as, I guess, what happens in Israel, Palestine, or, that area where, there's constant, terrorist attacks, and you need to constantly be aware. And I think that's the kind of condition that's we're gonna have to be living under if this continues.
Well,
Yeah.
I want to that's a very good point in terms of, and I wonder if long term, if we just suffer under constant attacks, just constant randomness, if America will get a clue. But I kind of wanted to change the subject, and this sort of ties into the Sharia law that you were talking about and things like that. You are very active in fighting sex trafficking and in human smuggling. I want you to kind of tell the audience a little bit about your fight on that.
Right. I mean, last week in Pakistan, I was on a panel, dealing on human trafficking, a very hostile panel, actually. And Pakistan is wrought with human trafficking and, forced child marriage and labor trafficking. And, it's it's a horrendous problem. You know, going from Pakistan, you know, my next stop was at the Vatican. I've dealt with it, you know, inside the Vatican, you know, as the Vatican's really gotten behind fighting sex trafficking. I think, you know, partly because it's a huge problem, and partly because it also kind of needed to, you know, clean up its act, so to speak, you know, with all the bad press we got from, you know, priest pedophiles, that kind of thing. So they've made a real concerted effort in fighting human trafficking. You know, the latest numbers, and that was presented actually at the Vatican last week or this week, was it's a $150 billion industry. Now, you know, that is fast becoming the number one crime. The gripe I have with it is, if we just take the U.S., for example, and you take the amount of expenditure on fighting drug enforcement compared to that on fighting human trafficking, is horrible. You know, the human trafficking task forces within the U.S. keep getting budgetary cuts, keep having to lose task force members, and how can this be when it's a $150 billion industry? You know, drug trafficking, you're never going to eradicate it, you know. You know, the U.S. is the biggest buyer, and it's always going to, drugs always going to find a way here, and it's not going to be eradicated. And
but there's some overlap there.
Mm-hmm.
Some overlap there. The human smugglers also overlap with the drug smugglers.
Sure.
So they,
sure, because
you know, there is some.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, you know, the cartels are dealing in human trafficking also. But where is the budget to fight human trafficking? Even if there is overlap, you know, it's severely lacking. If you look at just ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, which I'm part of, you know, it's constantly, you know, facing budgetary cuts, and the internet is the new platform, right? And that's where communication takes place, not only between terrorist organizations, but between pedophiles and human traffickers. You know, that's where you find out where the black markets are. That's how, you know, children are found now and approached or on the internet and groomed. So, you know, the budget is just not there for it, and that needs to change, because no matter how much you bark about human trafficking and you have awareness campaigns, it's going to be completely ineffective if there's not enough law enforcement to execute, you know, what legislation has laid down. And that is a major issue, and that's something I have a very big gripe about.
So I have to ask you, how did you get into fighting for that? That's not really in your bio how this became your fight.
Yeah, you know, I was on my way to Baghdad in, I think it was 2007, and I met at Dulles Airport a Sheriff Mike Brown, who's in Bedford County, Virginia, and he was really instrumental in the ICAC task force and fighting human trafficking. And he pulled us aside in a private room, me and three or four others, and told us about human trafficking. And 10 years ago, no one really spoke about it. You know, something really the last 5 years. And I don't know anything about it. And I said, you know what, when I come back from Baghdad, I'll come and see you. And I did. And the stuff he showed me was horrendous. It was horrible. You know, I wouldn't even want to describe to you what it was, but you know, it's he uses this term, you know, enrage and engage, and that's exactly what he did. I was enraged by what I saw, and immediately engaged in the fight, and I've just carried on with it as human trafficking, you know, just keeps getting worse and worse and exploding. We're behind the curve, you know, we're really behind the curve in fighting it.
Oh, that's interesting, because it takes people like that who care enough to approach people and say, come help me do
this. You know, it's one of those, you know, like most crimes, it's you're only really making a difference when you become a target. You know, it's one of those scenarios, because, you know, it's a $150 billion industry. And only once you really start impacting, you know, the organized crime revenue, you know, to become that target. And that means, you know, you're starting to hurt them. And but you know, as we plug along with awareness, et cetera, at least you're, you know, galvanizing more people, and more people that are galvanized will put more pressure on government for better and stronger legislation, and then hopefully more budget allocated to law enforcement to fight this crime.
Excellent. Well, Troy, I've been hogging it, so.
No, not at all. Yeah, I'm glad you asked me that question. It's an important subject to talk about.
Absolutely. We do have a question from our chat room. One of our listeners in the chat room is asking if you follow Victor Marx at all, as he deals a lot with fighting human trafficking, or do you know him?
I don't know him. I am involved in various other organizations that do fight them, including my own organization out of London. But, you know, more and more, you know, these religious organizations or bigger organizations are becoming more interested in the bigger fight. And, you know, the first meeting I had at the Vatican, the Pope brought in, you know, the head of Sunni, head of Shia, you know, Ayatollah Khomeini, Archbishop of Canterbury, brought in all the religious leaders together to sign a declaration against human trafficking. And that's another perspective, another aspect of fighting it, by having, you know, all religions, you know, laying down on paper going, you know, this is a problem, this is not right, and no matter which way you look at your scripture or you want to interpret it, you know, that's wrong, because human trafficking is wrong. So, you know, that's just another aspect of fighting it. But no, I haven't met him. No.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, it is, you know, as I'm glad Wendy asked that, because I would expect that, you know, you, not a sheriff meeting you in an airport, but you having, I don't know, in one of your missions or coming across it and finding a house full of kids being smuggled, something like that would have, you know, maybe would have been the thing that you would have saw firsthand and been like, I can't let this stand. But I imagine
right.
He, as you mentioned, he showed you enough that it was like you said, enraged and engaged, right? So
yeah, and he's been in that fight for a long time. You know, he's a veteran of CIA and FBI and ATF, and he really retired as a sheriff and put a lot of time into fighting human trafficking. So, you know, it spilled over into me and to carry on with that also. And there's so much work to be done in fighting that crime, that we're a long way off, and now we have everything else to contend with. And, you know, terrorism is in our backyard, and then there's, you know, narco-terrorism related to that, and there's the human trafficking, and it's just this compounded, you know, problems that, you know, we're all trying to, you know, find the light between all that darkness.
Right, right. This brings up a good point. I mean, you talk about the human trafficking and the crimes against children and stuff, which is near and dear to your heart. I'm sure you have a lot of different clients and customers, many of which who want to stay, you know, quiet, you know, that don't want to be it out there. Others, you know, you do talk about. How do you pick contracts or customers? I mean, do you look at ones like that maybe are more near and dear to your heart, and do they have a higher precedence? Is there a selection process like that?
Yeah, you know, when you're, it's great working for yourself, because you can make that choice. You know, I don't specifically work for, you know, a commander or general or, you know, head of a certain, you know, security apparatus that goes, you need to do this, you have to do this, and there's no questions asked, you know, and it boils down to where your moral compass is. And there are countries and heads of countries and that I've had, you know, the potential to work with, and I haven't wanted to, you know, and one in specific actually has, you know, numerous allegations of human trafficking, you know, against, you know, his government, and would refuse to work with him also. And it's, you know, in the end, you got to look at yourself in the mirror. You know, you can't preach one thing and then go and do another. And it just doesn't work that way. So that's kind of the way we've been operating. And I think, you know, of course, you know, it's profit's important, but I'm an ardent believer in the triple bottom line business, you know, of, you know, profit people and planet, right? So you're not harming the planet, and it's, you're making a profit, and it's you're socially responsible in your business. And I think that's really the way of the future for companies to have those ethics in place. Because even last year in Iraq, I lost massive potential business with the Iraqis because I was so vocal about the fact that ISIS was using chemical weapons on the Kurds. And that was just, we felt that was the right thing to do. And, it's, I'm happy we did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's kind of the difference. If you were to draw a line between a typical, what we would know as a mercenary or mercenary company and a private military company is mercenary companies, I think, are typically right. They would be ones that would just, whoever's got the money, right? Money talks. And there's sure. There's no really thought of conscience or values. Versus, because you're doing a lot of, the sheriff's departments you're working with around the country and different stuff you're working with on the ICAC and everything. I mean, it's definitely obvious that you're taking things that you think are morally right.
Eritrea in Africa, that was one of the countries that, I didn't want to deal with, and firstly, what they wanted was not in our scope, we wouldn't deal with that. And secondly, there are human rights abuses against them, and in specific human trafficking, I've ended up in sticky situations in the past where it was completely unfounded, but I've had allegations against me. I many years ago, I trained the Cambodian special forces on the border with Thailand, and they were shooting rockets at each other on the border of this temple called Previa, and I trained about 100 of the Cambodian special forces, and I had allegations against me saying, well, they Khmer Rouge, right? And the Khmer Rouge, they got to be 70, 80 years old. And they're like, no, well, the Khmer Rouge present. And, this kind of thing where I've become really, really aware of who we engage in our business activities and how we represent ourselves.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely a very busy guy. You have a lot of stuff going on. I imagine you have a team of people in your company that are doing the analytical work, right? Doing the background research, vetting possible clients or areas that you may go into.
Yeah, we have a small but tight core. We're not the biggest company out there, and we don't purport to be or want to be, really. I'm very happy just coasting along the way we do, and it's safer, and we get the job done well, and we have a good reputation, and I'd rather just keep it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Have you found yourself in work on a client in work, and then and maybe come across something or seen something that just violated your principles or your company's principles so much that you just had to back out of it and just end it there?
Yeah, I mean, there's people that have worked for us have been in those situations where, it's just not part of the parameters of that job, and then you kind of have to deal with that from there on, and just get past your whatever you were hired for, and then fulfill those duties, and then back away.
Right. I think it's definitely obvious from your videos you are engaged by many different groups, countries, agencies of all types to provide a variety of training. It looked like personal defense, offensive, defensive, and things like that. How do companies find you? How do clients find you? Is it mostly word of mouth?
Yeah, a lot of it is. We deal with a lot of the foreign militaries, and also I've kind of the way I've done it. Is when I've really decided to focus on my company and security work. I made trips to Afghanistan, to Iraq, and I did a lot of stuff just pro bono. I trained NATO forces and the foreign military forces in those environments, and ones who really needed it, ones that needed desperate like escape and evasion training, and that have suffered major losses, and I've come in and done the best I could just to help them. And in that way, I've also, made a lot of friends out there. And I guess, we've got a good reputation for doing that. and that's really helped us when it came to having to now monetize, you know, our activities. Really, it started with a lot of giving before really receiving, and that stood us pretty well.
Yeah, I imagine you probably made a few enemies out there too, besides friends.
Yes, yes, no, I do have numerous enemies, and we've had clients who are extremely high profile, and you know, who are enemies of certain states, and you know, by default, you end up, you know, becoming the enemy also, you know. But I have probably been around and helped really probably some clients who have been, you know, probably the highest profile, you know, when it comes to assassination attempts of the past, you know, couple of decades. And so that gets a little scary, but you know, you do the best you can, you know, and yeah. By dealing with those clients, you also gain, you know, a certain reputation.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, Tony, it's been great for you to be on with us tonight. I really appreciate it. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but is there anything you want to leave our listeners with? Anything we haven't covered that you think is pretty important you want to make sure that you get the word out about? Anything you have coming up in the future or anything?
No, I think we've had quite a comprehensive chat, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to make sure everyone knows they can check out your company at mosaicsec.com, mosaic.com, mosaic. Or they can or find out a lot about you at your own personal website at tonyshiana.com. I keep messing up your name. We'll put all that up on our Facebook page.
That would be great because no one gets my last name right.
It's Tony Sheena.
Sheena, thank you. I know, I keep seeing the I and it throws me off. Thank you, Wendy. So we'll put that up there. And Tony, we want to really say, really glad you were able to join us tonight. This is, I mean, been very enlightening. I think our listeners probably, I know I did, probably picked up a few new things tonight they didn't know about. And we really appreciate you taking the time with us.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. You have a
thank
great
you.
Night, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So Tony Sheena,
wow.
I got it right. Damn.
Yeah, he's fighting the good fight out there, you know, and I appreciate somebody who's willing to, you know, help people with their protective services, you know, in terms of personal security and doing, fighting for themselves, protecting themselves, but then also on the flip side, you know, fighting for those who don't have a voice, those who are being taken and bought and sold, like, you know, so much personal belongings, and he seems very involved in a lot of different aspects of what is going on in the world today. So
he's you know, in the last week he's in Pakistan, Rome, London, and back in the States. He's got a few miles under him. That's why I was like, he must have a, you know, to just vet everyone and everywhere he's going. You know, I could see how it'd be easy for someone in his position or his company to accidentally sign up with the wrong people and find yourself in front of a war tribunal or, you know, a court of some foreign country. You know, they must have to, I'm sure they're always under P's and Q's to make sure they're doing the right thing or they're not teamed up with the wrong people. But
yeah.
The, very interesting. And, you know, when you see someone like that, if you haven't checked out a site, we put up a site on the Facebook page, but if you go look at some of the videos, I mean, I'll be honest, when I first looked at it, I was like, okay, this guy's selling himself. He's selling a brand. You know, he's got some cool stuff he's done, but, you know, it seems to be, you know, how much of it is behind it is, you know, kind of fluff, if you would. How much, and, you know, when he talks about meeting a sheriff in an airport, coming back and being just, you know, turned on and enraged by what he saw and taking it a personal mission, that just speaks a lot to that selfless service that we try to cover on this show.
Yeah, and he, you know, he has a history. He was a karate champ, and got, I believe he got injured. I think he broke both his ankles and he was out of commission and chose to go a different route after that injury, I believe is what he said, or maybe I'm trying to think if that was something else, but he could have quietly gone about his business in life, but he chose to, you know, take the fight to where it needs to be taken, and that's impressive.
Yeah. When you think of some of the contractors out there, even mercenary groups that will just do it for the almighty dollar. I mean, it looks like he's keeping his folks on the straight and narrow. When you're meeting with the Pope and you're getting, you know, U.S. law enforcement, and she's hiring you, bringing you on, they're going to make sure they're not, you know, bringing on someone that's questionable. You know, they're going to bring on, because they don't need that black eye either. They don't need someone accusing them of hiring some rogue mercenary murderer to train their own people or something. But,
right.
Yeah. Great guest, man. I'm telling you, I could have him on for another whole show just talking about the stuff going on in the world. I don't want to take too much of his time, but there's just so many things happening. I have no doubt that he has a lot of input and insight into a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
interesting. So, Wendy, you know, we normally do the bald man rants at the end of our show, and we're about four
I have
and a half
lot
minutes
of hair.
Left.
That's not going to work.
You have a lot of hair, so we won't. So you get excused from the bald man rant, but you get to be the crazy. I don't know karate, but I know crazy rant. So is there anything?
I look at that like three times a day at work because I'm just like so irritated with everything. So
do you make sure everyone else sees that? That's what's important.
You know, I should probably put it in my window where the truck drivers can see it. But I try to be nice. I try to play nice in life.
Or put it on your signature line on your emails. that would get some attention. I know you guys,
the last time I listened to the show, and don't take this personally, I love you and Toby to death. You guys know that, or you guys would not have seen my little recent kerfluffle that I created. But, you know, I don't listen to the show because I'm going to school and right now I've got some other things going on, which I'm not going to talk about on the air,
right.
about my life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm just so busy that I don't listen to the show anymore. And the last time I listened to it, you guys used to cover kind of military issues or, you know, things from a first sergeant or, you know, former leader perspective. What do you guys do now?
That was a long time ago. We were 32 shows into the episodes into this show. That was a long time ago. So, you know, our show is, when you're sitting there doing your homework or doing whatever or driving back and forth to work, you know, you could listen to it. It is up on the web forever. Right. So not to dog you out. But no, we talk just like our website says. Right. It's military, first responders, selfless service, security, politics. We cover it all. Right. And we've had people from all over the world now on the show and talk about all kind of stuff. And what I like to find is people like him that, you know, kind of encompass two or three of those things. Right. Which Tony's company definitely does. And himself personally with selfless service. That's the kind of folks we try to bring on. But so at the end, we usually do a bald man rant. Usually, you know, Toby and myself, there's something that's amped us up. We usually have happened that day in the news, and we usually just have like a minute. We go off, but now we're down to 2 minutes, so we really don't have much time. I don't have anything.
Oh, I can rant. I can rant in two minutes.
I know you can. But I just want to say before you do that, I want to make sure everyone joins us next week. Next week, Toby and I will be together with our guest, Mr. Tim Kennedy, in studio. We will all three of us be together, be broadcasting this show. It should be for a great time and a lot of. I think we're actually going to have the show a little bit earlier. I got to confirm with Toby, but Tim has something going on, so we may move up our show about an hour. But we'll let you know. But yeah, that's going to be next week. We're very excited about it because we'll actually have Tim with us, and it should make for a very good time. So I just want to say that before. So.
Yeah, I think I'll have to listen. Depends on what I have going on.
It's just that, again, you can go back anytime and listen at blogtalkradio.com/doingthenun. But what would you like to rant about? You got 1 minute. I'm going to give you 1 minute. The clock's on you. What do you want to rant about?
You know, I don't have anything to rant about.
You just said, I can rant about anything.
I said I can. If you give me a subject, subject and tell me something.
No, Hillary's emails.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. She is not an idiot. She was a lawyer. She's very well aware of what she's done. She tries to play the stupid And she's not. She's not as dumb as a lot of people seem to think. They talk about how stupid she is. She's not. She's just very, very savvy. She knows how to hide shit. She's been doing that for years since they were in Arkansas. Her and her husband were in Arkansas. And it's not about like dead bodies or any of the other, you know, kind of conspiracy theory things, you know, Vince Foster and all that other stuff. It is about a power couple who together as a couple have bamboozled the nation for years.
You're done. We got 10 seconds. All right. That's why we got to have you back on the show. So thank you, Wendy, for joining me. Thank you to Tony. And we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And we look forward to seeing and talking to everybody next week with Tim Kennedy in studio, all of us together. You don't want to miss it. Wendy, thank you so much for joining me tonight. You were awesome as always. You got to fit us in your schedule when you can.
All right.
But thank you so much.
Good night,
everybody. Great talking to you. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.